Welcome to Health Talk, the healthcare news, information, and wellness podcast brought to you by the University of Vermont Health Network. I'm your host, Philip Rao, and today we're exploring a topic that is so important to parents and families across the country right now. With RSV season in full swing, how can parents protect their young children from severe infection and potentially hospitalization? There's been a major breakthrough in protection for infants and newborns that is changing what RSV season looks like in pediatric intensive care units across the country. Joining us today to share more about that breakthrough and what we're seeing in Vermont and Northern New York is Dr. Rebecca Bell, a pediatric critical care physician at University of Vermont Medical Center and University of Vermont Children's Hospital. Dr. Bell, welcome and thank you for joining us on Health Talk.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here.
Well, let's jump right in. Today, we're talking about keeping our kids safe during respiratory disease season, specifically keeping them safe from RSV. You know, RSV is the most common and one of the most contagious seasonal respiratory viruses out there. And it also comes with some really severe risks for the youngest and oldest members of our families. So kick us off by talking about what is RSV and why is it so contagious?
Sure, happy to. So RSV season is my least favorite season. So as you said, I'm a pediatric intensivist. I work in the pediatric intensive care unit, and I take care of infants, children, and adolescents who are critically ill. And RSV is the most common reason for children to be admitted to the pediatric intensive care unit. That's true of our PICU. It's true of PICUs across the country. So for young children, the most common reason to be admitted to the hospital is for RSV. So RSV stands for respiratory syncytial virus, and it's an incredibly common seasonal virus. It comes around every year, and we all get it by the time we're 2 years of age, and we can get it over and over again. So many of us who are parents or work with kids will get it over and over each winter season. For most people, for older children, for healthy adults, it's a common cold. So nasal congestion, runny nose, a cough. It can make you feel pretty run down and lousy, but you tend to not need to get a higher level of care. You don't end up in the hospital. But for infants who are getting RSV for the first time, that first infection can be really rough, especially if they're very young. And so children, in particular, children under the age of 6 months, can get very, very sick from RSV. And so what would that look like? So beyond just having nasal congestion, runny nose, and cough, that infection can affect the lower airways. So if you think about traveling down the airways, down to the smaller airways, down to the lungs, you can have inflammation of those airways. And if you think about young babies, they have tiny airways. And so if their airways are inflamed or swollen or there's mucus there, that can really create a lot of difficulty breathing. And so we see a lot of lower airway problems with young babies who are infected with RSV. And what might that look like in the hospital? So some young infants may have trouble feeding, and so they have to come to the hospital for nutrition support or rehydration. But many end up also having difficulty breathing, and they need oxygen. And sometimes that means additional oxygen, additional suctioning for a few days. But for some, they need a lot of extra support. So that might be extra airflow in addition to oxygen. And we give that through something called high-flow nasal cannula. Or they may need additional pressure with what we call continuous or bilevel positive airway pressure. Or they may even need to be on mechanical ventilation, which means putting an infant to sleep, putting in a breathing tube, and hooking them up to a ventilator and having the ventilator breathe for them because their lungs are so sick. So it runs the gamut. Most children get RSV, do okay, but many end up in the hospital. In the U.S., we have about 60 to 80,000 children under the age of 5 every year admitted to the hospital with RSV.
Wow, that's an incredible number that I don't think many people realize. So part of that is probably because RSV is so contagious and because it spreads so easily. Can you talk a little bit, before we get to the breakthrough that's really helping protect some of these really, really young kids, how does RSV spread?
RSV spreads through contact and droplet. So kind of close contact, droplets from coughing, droplets from nasal secretions. So things like hand washing can really help. But yes, this is a very contagious virus. And as I mentioned, everyone gets it by the time they're 2 years of age. It's something that if you have a newborn at home and you have a toddler in childcare or a child in school, it is going to be really, really hard to keep the newborn from getting RSV. That's just the way this virus works. It's just very common for newborns to get it from their sibling who's in childcare, who's at school.
So with that said, and because it's going to be so difficult to insulate them from infection, what are the warning signs of severe infection that parents or siblings or extended family members need to be on the lookout for? You know, what are there things that they can see or hear or feel about what their infant is doing that will key them off, or they need to call their pediatrician, or they need to call for an ambulance?
So most children can sort of weather this infection at home. They may have a congested nose that needs suctioning. They may have a cough. What we ask families to do is just to make sure they are feeding okay and they're staying hydrated, which means that they're having the normal amount of wet diapers. So if you feel like they're really not feeding as well, they're really not having, you know, their usual wet diapers, I would talk to your child's doctor about that. There's no special treatment or medicine that we can give to children when they have RSV. So there isn't a reason to get a test necessarily or to try to rush in to get a treatment. But what we do is something called supportive care in the hospital. So if they're not feeding as well, we may need to give them nutritional support or hydration support. And then the big thing is the breathing. So if you see your child breathing hard and fast, so beyond coughing, but you see their abdomen sucking in, you see their neck muscles working, their chest muscles working. Sometimes you see their head bobbing back and forth. That means they're working really hard to breathe. Nasal flaring is another sign. If you see any of those things, they definitely need to be seen right away. Certainly, if you see any color changes, if your baby is turning blue, absolutely immediately call an ambulance. The other thing that we worry about in some infants who get RSV is something called apnea, which are long pauses in breathing. So babies have what we call some irregular breathing that can be normal, where they breathe a little bit fast and then they breathe a little bit slow. But if they're having long pauses of breathing in the setting of an RSV infection, let's say the definition of apnea is a pause in breathing for more than 20 seconds, that is a very serious sign that they need to come in right away. And the infants that are most at risk for apnea due to RSV are infants that are young, infants that were born early. And this is just sort of an immature response, immature breathing pattern that may mean that they need to come to the ICU, and some of those infants end up on ventilators. So that's sort of the gamut. It's really a lot of nasal congestion and coughing, which that can generally be managed at home. But if they're working hard to breathe or they're not having enough wet diapers, those are things that you need to get seen for right away.
With prevention being so difficult and there not being a treatment that's effective after an infant contracts RSV, preventing infection seems to be the most important thing, but again, so very difficult in the past. Maybe not so much anymore with a really, really exciting breakthrough that happened starting, I believe, in mid-2023. Dr. Bell, can you talk us through what's going on and why we're seeing such a reduction in the number of young children admitted to the hospital during RSV season?
Yeah, I am so happy to talk about this. So there is a new RSV immunization called nirsevimab, and it is really working to keep babies out of the hospital. Now, the struggle has always been with RSV infection is that the babies that get the sickest are the youngest. So as pediatricians, what we really want to do is prevent infants from getting sick early on when they're very young. And many vaccines, traditional vaccines, they work by prompting the immune system to build up its own antibodies, right? And that can take weeks. The problem with RSV infection is that the infants that can get the sickest are often infants that are born during RSV season. They go home, they're 2 weeks old, they have a two-year-old sibling, and they get RSV. And so we don't have the time time is of the essence, really, in this case. And so what we want to do is send children home from the hospital after birth protected from RSV. And nirsevimab, which is a monoclonal antibody, does just that. So instead of having to wait for the body to make its own antibodies, nirsevimab is antibody. It's antibody to prevent RSV from infecting the cells. And so we can give that to infants right in the hospital during RSV season before they go home, and those antibodies are there already. Now, again, RSV is everywhere. It's not going away. And this doesn't mean that a child won't test positive for RSV or won't have a mild infection. But what it does is that prevents that severe version of RSV. So that lower airway issue with breathing problems. And we've seen in studies that nirsevimab works very well to keep kids out of the hospital. So about an 80% reduction in having to see a doctor at all, a 90% reduction in needing to be in the hospital. And looking at ICU admissions, 95% reduction in having to come to the ICU. So again, this is a difference between weathering this infection at home with maybe some nasal congestion and cough potentially, and needing to come into the hospital for lots of oxygen or even mechanical ventilation, which is a huge difference. So we're so excited about how different this RSV season looks compared to previous seasons.
I mean, that's just an incredible positive impact, and it's got to be comforting for so many families and so many parents out there. I know as a parent myself, it's incredibly stressful trying to keep your young kid safe and healthy. Who can get this immunization? How do they get it? And anything else you want to say about what parents need to know as they get this for their children?
This immunization is so effective that it's recommended for all infants. So all infants, even healthy infants born at term, should get this immunization before their first RSV infection. So this really helps prevent severe RSV infection during that first year. So it really depends on when the baby is born. The immunization, nirsevimab, is available from October 1st to March 31st. And the reason why it's available then is because the RSV, we start to see it in our region kind of in December, maybe November, December, really starts to kick off January, February, March, and then it goes away. It's not around in the summer. Any infant that's born after October 1st until March 31st can get and should get the immunization in the newborn nursery before they go home. So for all the hospitals and birthing hospitals in Vermont provide that. We provide it at our UVM Health Network sites, and other birthing hospitals across the state have it too. So you can go home with your infant already with antibodies. Now, let's say they were born in May or June, sometime in the summer. They can get and should get nirsevimab before the start of their first RSV season. So they can get it at their child's doctor's office after October. So if you had a baby born in June, that means they haven't been exposed to RSV yet. And when October comes around, check in with your child's doctor and get the RSV shot. And that will protect them as they head into their first RSV season. Additionally, if for some reason you're having trouble just figuring out where to get this for your child, one great resource is every district, every region of Vermont has a district health office, and you can call them. They sometimes have it, or they can help you figure out where to get it. But it should be at your child's doctor's office. And then one additional thing I want to let folks know about is that for certain children with underlying medical conditions, so let's say chronic lung disease, congenital heart disease, some other serious medical conditions, they should actually also get it their second RSV season. And if you're wondering if your child is eligible for that, talk to your child's doctor. So for those children who still can get really sick even in their second season, we recommend nirsevimab for those children as well.
And just to reinforce for parents who may have additional questions, this is an FDA-approved immunization. It's been approved for quite some time. I believe July 2023 was when it received its initial approval. And there's a nationwide study available about its effectiveness. We'll link to that in the description if you want to learn more. But incredibly effective, safe, approved protection for the youngest people in our community. It's really, really amazing.
Yeah, and I would say for us as intensivists, we love to see things work right away and the impact right away. And so nirsevimab was approved before last RSV season, but there wasn't enough nirsevimab for everyone to get. And so we didn't see a huge impact. This season, lots and lots of families in Vermont and in Northern New York are getting it. They're taking advantage of this. And most infants are protected. Most infants have gotten this. And man, do we see a difference. It's so satisfying to see, to know that these children are getting it and we're seeing the difference right away. We're not admitting children to the pediatric ICU who've received nirsevimab, which is just really amazing. So it's something that you can do now to protect your child from something that's happening right now. So I think in that sense, it's been very satisfying for us. And it's been wonderful to see how many families are interested in this. And partly it's because they had a toddler at home who got really sick when they were an infant with RSV. They know what it's like. They know how it can, just being up at night watching your child maybe struggle to feed, maybe struggle to breathe. I mean, no family wants that. And a lot of families have experienced that in the past. And so they are very eager to protect their child from severe disease.
One of the things I want to reinforce for our listeners here is that what we're talking about isn't a vaccine, it's an immunization. And that's a really important distinction. So I want Dr. Bell to spend a little bit more time talking a little bit about the differences between the two. And specifically, this is a monoclonal antibody immunization. So talk about what that means and how it's different from a conventional vaccine.
Yeah, when we think about immunity, we tend to separate it into two categories. So there's active immunity and passive immunity. Active immunity is what we think about when we think about most traditional childhood immunizations. And the way those work is that the vaccine is given to the child or the adult, and the immune system recognizes, it sort of stimulates the immune system to then create immunity, create antibodies and other types of immunity, so that in the future, if you come across that pathogen, you're sort of ready. That's active immunity. And the benefit to active immunity is that it's oftentimes longstanding, durable, and sometimes even lifelong. For instance, if you get your measles vaccine, if then that child is exposed to measles a year later, 10 years later, 20 years later, you know, that person's body knows what to do and you've got that immunity there. So that's the benefit of active immunizations that you get, say, from childhood vaccines. Active immunity can also be if somebody has gotten the infection, right? And then they've built up immunity. The benefit of vaccines, of course, is that you don't have to get sick. It's a way to get active immunity without actually getting sick. And then passive immunity would be receiving antibodies. So your body didn't make the antibodies, but you're getting the antibodies. And so we see that when we give pregnant women the pertussis vaccine at the end of pregnancy. We're doing that because then the pregnant person makes the antibodies against pertussis. It passes through the placenta, and then the fetus gets that. And so they're born with some passive immunity. We also actually have an RSV vaccine for pregnant women that they can get, where they can similarly, they make their antibodies and pass it on to the fetus. So they're born with those antibodies. And then this nirsevimab, this monoclonal antibody, same thing, you're giving the antibodies are already there. Now, the benefit of this type of passive immunity is that it's really timeliness. Again, you don't need to wait weeks for the immune system to sort of do its thing. Many vaccines that in order to get really durable active immunity, you have to get multiple vaccines. So this is, you're getting the antibodies, you immediately have protection. The downside is that it wears off after a while. So for in the case of nirsevimab, we know it lasts about 5 months, maybe a few months longer than that. But this is not something where, unfortunately, anyone is going to then be immune to RSV for the rest of their life. This is providing protection, immediate, timely protection during the most vulnerable time when kids get the sickest from RSV. So that's the difference there between passive and active immunity.
And a really important distinction there, and the fact that this is protection, but it's temporary protection, and it's targeted to the time when these folks are most at risk. Kind of circling back to something that you've already mentioned a little bit, but let's talk about what parents and families can do in addition to getting the immunization for their newborn or infant. Obviously, there are other groups of people that are at risk for more severe RSV infections every year. So what are the things that parents, that families, that everyone should be doing just to keep themselves and their loved ones as safe and healthy as possible during RSV season?
Yeah, so good hand washing. I think, again, talking to each other when somebody in the family is sick and maybe saying, okay, maybe we'll cancel that play date. We haven't talked about this, but older adults, especially older adults with underlying conditions, can get very sick from RSV. There's an RSV vaccine for older individuals. So those folks should be thinking about getting the RSV vaccine. And then there's other stuff going around. There's influenza and other viruses as well. So I think good hand washing, really, I give parents permission to tell people no when they have newborns, when they want to come over and hold them and hold the baby and kiss the baby and do all those things, because this is just a very vulnerable time. And so for infants that are born during respiratory virus season, again, we now have this amazing protection against severe disease, but you don't want your kids sick really at all. So thinking about how to cocoon them a little bit with visitors and limiting visitors and that sort of thing can be really helpful.
Great. Is there anything else that I didn't ask? Anything else you want to say that you think it's important for people to hear?
Yeah, I just want to mention one other thing, and that's just thinking about safety. People always want to ask about safety, and I think that's important. There are really no side effects other than this is a shot when we're talking about nirsevimab. And so anytime there's a shot, sometimes there can be some redness in the area. And we have a lot of experience with giving monoclonal antibody shots to babies. So I'm going to back up a little bit and just mention that there is a monoclonal antibody called palivizumab that we've been giving for many, many years to infants to help protect them against severe RSV infection. The problem with palivizumab is that it was very short acting. It would only last a couple weeks. So in order to actually protect infants during the entire RSV season, we would have to give it to them every single month. So we would give them a shot every month, 5 months in a row, all during RSV season. And because it was expensive and because it required many shots, it was only recommended for those who are at really high risk. So those infants who had been in the neonatal intensive care unit, those with chronic lung disease, heart disease, those born premature. But we have a lot of experience with this type of medicine, this monoclonal antibody given to infants during RSV season. So although nirsevimab is new, we have experience with this type and class and reason for giving this medication, and we feel really comfortable with it. We are so excited about nirsevimab because it's just one shot, one time, and it provides much longer protection through the whole course of the RSV season.
Really an amazing advance and resource for parents and families who want to protect their kids. That was Dr. Rebecca Bell, a pediatric critical care physician at University of Vermont Medical Center and University of Vermont Children's Hospital, sharing exciting new information about an RSV immunization that's protecting the youngest children in our communities this season. Thank you, Dr. Bell, for your time and expertise. It's so nice to have you on Health Talk today.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening. This has been Health Talk, the health news, information, and wellness podcast brought to you by University of Vermont Health Network. If you have an idea for an episode or a question, be sure to reach out to us via email at healthtalk@uvmhealth.org. I'm your host, Philip Rao. Thanks for listening and have a great day.